Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Thursday, January 15th, 2015, at we're having a winter day here in Florida. It's 67 degrees, but it's all gray and overcast, and it feels like winter. Today we're going to talk about seafood, which is something we haven't really talked about before. And I'll just admit right up front that I don't eat seafood at all at any time. It's not something that I've researched a lot, but I know a little bit about it, enough to know what the toxic exposures are and where to find the safest seafood. But I just never have been able to eat seafood since I was born. Like the first time my parents gave it to me, I just gagged. It's just something about it that my body doesn't tolerate. But that said, seafood is very healthy if you get good seafood. It's a source of many nutrients that we'll talk about, and we'll talk about how to prepare it and all of those things. I'm just saying that I'm a novice at this subject because I have no personal experience with it. My guest today is Randy Hartnell. He's the president of Vital Choice Wild Seafood and Organics, which he founded in 2001 with his wife, Carla. And this is one of the best websites that sell seafood that I found. So we're going to find out all about his very high-quality seafood. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Deborah. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. And you're in Washington?
I'm in Washington State up here in the Northwest.
And what's the weather like here, there?
It's a little overcast, kind of gray, and probably a lot chillier than where you're at.
Yeah. Is it raining?
No, it's not, actually. We've been having a very mild winter. Haven't had to scrape ice off the windshields yet.
Yeah, we've been having a mild winter, too. So tell us, how did you you used to be a fisherman, and how did you get from being a fisherman to selling seafood?
That's right. I was a commercial fisherman in Alaska for over 20 years. I loved it. I started going up there when I was in college to work my way through school, and just fell in love with working out in nature and on the water. And did that until the late 2001. And we had a disruptive event happen in our industry. Over that period of time, the industrialization of salmon came onto the world scene in a big way. And whereas wild salmon from Alaska had previously constituted most of the wild salmon in the world, farm salmon basically came along and displaced it. It was a lot cheaper. It was available year round. And from a retailer's standpoint, it was just, a lot more profitable, a lot less hassle. And in spite of the fact that, wild salmon was superior nutritionally, superior from an environmental standpoint, it tasted a lot better. Basically, consumers were, all they knew was that farm salmon was cheaper. And in a period of a couple of years, our prices collapsed and we couldn't really make a living. And it was a pretty devastating time in our industry. And so it's really similar to what a lot of ranchers and farmers have experienced with the industrialization of the beef industry and, based on every protein. And so I had to find something else to do, and that something else ended up being Vital Choice.
Well, can you tell us something about what the fishing experience is like? Like, I know that I've seen movies where they have scenes where the big boats go out and then they put the fish on ice and things. But is there anything that you can tell us that would give us more of an idea of what that experience is like between the fish in the water and it ending up in the store someplace?
Sure. It varies quite a bit by the type of fish, the type of fishing method used. I was involved in several different kinds of fisheries, but my primary fishery was a wild salmon fishery in Bristol Bay, Alaska. And those are those fish come in seasonally, so we would go up every summer in June, and the fish would come in. We'd spend about 6 weeks and catch the fish, Some of the boats take better care of them than others. My boat was refrigerated, so the fish were chilled, and the openings are usually 6 or 8 hours. And so after you're done fishing, you deliver those to another boat that basically tenders them to either a processing ship or a processing plant. And again, the industry has changed quite a bit, but basically it's about, probably 24 hours before those particular fish are, you know, chilled and cleaned and go in. At that time, most of it was being canned, for sale around the world. And this is really one of the best foods on the planet, really. Nothing goes into that can except that fresh salmon, maybe a little salt. Increasingly, demand for frozen product has occurred in Europe, Asia, the rising middle classes around the world. They all want our Alaska salmon because it's some of the best seafood on the planet, cleanest, best quality. Ironically, a lot of Americans, still they're prone to buy the cheapest thing they can find, and so they'll buy a lot of the farm fish. The ironic thing is the best seafood is that we're raising or that we're harvesting is going offshore, and we're importing farm shrimp, farm catfish, farm tilapia, and all this stuff that can't even touch, can't come close to touching Alaska wild seafood nutritionally. But anyway, as far as the quality goes and time to market, it really, really depends. A lot of people get hung up on this fresh versus frozen. And all fresh means is that it's never been frozen, right? Even though it may take a week to get from the fishing grounds to your store there in Florida, or longer, actually, or New York or wherever. And we spent a lot of time trying to educate people about this. If you take a really good quality fish out of the water and you clean it and freeze it right away, And it stays that way until you thaw, that you as a customer thaw it out, it's going to taste the way it tasted coming out of the water. So in many cases, frozen fish is going to be a better culinary experience than so-called fresh. If you catch it yourself, down there in Florida, you have a lot of seafood, and you catch it yourself, that's one thing. But I travel around a lot. I always check out seafood in various restaurants, and a lot of times it's not very good. And I heard your introduction about how you had a really bad experience at an early age. And unfortunately, that's the case with a lot of people. They get bad quality product, and they just assume that all seafood tastes bad. It was going to,
this was back in the 50s. And so I may have gotten a piece of fish that had been sitting in a styrofoam container wrapped in plastic. Full of mercury, and
I doubt that was it. It's more the fats. The thing that makes seafood so incredibly healthy are those polyunsaturated fats, those omega-3s. Mm-hmm. And they're, the thing about them is they're incredibly unstable, and that's why they've been basically taken out of our food supply, because they're an enemy to shelf life. And in fish, what that means is if they're exposed to air, if fish is exposed to air for even a day or two, those fats start to oxidize. That's what we know as rancidity or fishiness.
Oh.
And it just always amazes me how many people out there think that seafood tastes fishy. Because when you get good quality seafood and you take care of it and package it well, it doesn't taste fishy at all. I'm here in Seattle, and last night I went with some friends out to a local restaurant and we had a couple different types of seafood. It was the most delicious meal, and I would challenge anybody that thinks they don't like seafood to let me set them up with a seafood meal. You wouldn't believe the number of people I've converted over the years, and they're always just amazed. I hear, what I commonly hear is, that doesn't taste like fish.
I should try your fish.
I'd be happy to give you the opportunity to do that, help you do that.
Thank you. Thank you. We need to go to break, but when we come back, we'll talk more with Randy Hartnell about safe seafood. He's the president of Vital Choice Wild Seafood and Organics, and their website is vitalchoice.com. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Randy Hartnell. He's the president of Vital Choice Wild Seafood and Organics. That's vitalchoice.com. And we're talking about seafood, the safest seafood and the most delicious seafood, I'm told. Randy, tell us about some of the toxic chemicals that are found in seafood that people might want to watch out for, and why is it important to have seafood from pristine waters?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, there's been methylmercury in the ocean since, you know, for thousands of years. In fact, they've looked at specimens of hair from Eskimos that lived thousands of years ago, and they have methylmercury, and a lot of people don't realize that life evolved in the ocean amid a background presence of methylmercury. So to a certain extent, you know, it's there, and we can handle fish that have, you know, lower amounts. But and if you look at the science, if you look at the studies, generally around the world, the people that eat the most seafood are the healthiest.
Yes.
They are the longest lived. They have the, you know, lowest or the, some of the best infant mortality. And I'm talking about major scientific peer-reviewed studies where they looked at thousands of people. And really, you only have to look at Japan, right? The population of Japan, including pregnant and nursing women, are eating fish every day. And they're some of the healthiest people on the planet, not the sickest. And what happens is a lot of people focus on these trace levels of methylmercury and other contaminants. I mean, we're talking parts per billion or less. And they totally forget about all the good nutrients in seafood that aren't in most of the land-based foods. I mean, seafood is just such a, it just has the whole micronutrient spectrum. It's got these incredible long-chain omega-3 fats. And when you look at, you know, just, if you just focus on the methylmercury and you forget about all the benefit, you're really doing yourself a disservice. Now, to your question, you do want to focus on fish for, obviously, clean waters. And what we learned, we knew that a lot of people were concerned about this, rightfully so. And so we started testing our fish from the very beginning. We would submit samples to labs. And what we saw over the years, what we learned is that toxicity or methylmercury in seafood is really a function of the species, the life cycle of the fish. And so generally what you want to do is avoid longer lived fish because it tends to bioaccumulate over time.
Right.
You know, larger fish. So for instance, we source albacore tuna from one fisherman, but when he comes in and unloads his boat, he's got albacore tuna that range from, you know, 4 or 5 pounds up to 50 or 60 pounds. And we buy only the smallest fish, which are 2 or 3 years old. They have the lowest contaminant levels and also the highest, highest levels of these healthy fats. So,
let me ask you about that, because if you're just going to the store or the fish market and you want to buy some tuna, how would you know what size fish that piece of tuna came from?
You would not know. It's impossible to know. In fact, you could be pretty sure that what you're getting is just the opposite. You're getting the largest fish. The commercial packers don't like the little fish because, they're relatively low yield. They're more expensive to process. And, in the contrary, they like the bigger fish, which tend to be, have the highest contaminant levels and the lowest methylmercury levels. So for instance, if you buy a can of the albacore tuna that we're sourcing, it's got maybe 1.5 to 3 grams of omega-3 fatty acids per serving. If you go into a grocery store and you buy albacore tuna off the shelf, it's almost negligible. And, we've tested this numerous times so not only has it got higher contaminant levels, it's got much lower levels of the good fats. And that's just a function of the type of fish that they're sourcing. They're both albacore tuna, but the bigger fish that are down deep have the higher contaminant levels and the lower fat levels compared to the smaller fish that are caught by hook and line. And, a couple studies that came out a few years ago upon which the FDA based their advice to pregnant nursing women to restrict seafood consumption. This was in 2004. They were based on two studies. One was in the Faroe Islands of Denmark, and one was in New Zealand. And they saw, you know, the higher the fish consumption among these pregnant women, they really began to see problems with the their children over the course of years. But when we went back and looked at it, when the scientists went back and looked at it, they realized that in the Faroe Islands that people were eating pilot whale, which is a top of the food chain, you know, highly contaminated marine mammal. Mm-hmm. And in New Zealand, they were eating shark, which again is a top of the food chain fish that lives a long time, has very high, relatively high contaminant levels. On the contrary, when you look at populations that are eating normal seafood like you would get in the grocery store, in most grocery stores, the contaminant levels are much lower. Now, what we've done is we're very selective. You know, we don't have to go, you know, produce large volumes to go into grocery stores. We just sell over our website. And so we can go to the fishermen and say, look, we only want your smaller fish. We only want our halibut. We only buy halibut 25 pounds and under, as opposed to, you know, halibut can get up to hundreds of pounds. And so in answer to your question, when you go to the store, you don't really know what you're getting. But
if somebody buys from you, then they do know what they're getting because you have very specific criteria.
Yes, because we buy what we want to eat. Our family eats more fish than anybody. And so we just buy what we know is healthiest for ourselves and then source the same thing for our customers. But I have to say, you know, that while we do that, and I've been doing this for a dozen years now, and I go to scientific conferences around the world. I've developed friendships with some of the leading scientists in this realm, just some really wonderful people that, you know, are not connected to industry. They appreciate our company because we're providing food that they recognize as being among the healthiest out there. But yeah, what they will tell you is that there is no evidence, really no evidence.
Oh, well, I see that. Hold on, Randy. We'll come back after the break because the music is kind of taking over. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. And my guest today is Randy Hartnell, president of Club Seafood Organics. And we'll be right back after the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Randy Hartnell. From Vital Choice Seafood, Wild Seafood and Organics. And I'm at the website now, and we're going to talk about all these great products. I'm just looking, and there's so many things. I mean, there's basically, I'll let you explain. Go ahead. Tell us about your products.
Well, when we started out a few years ago, we had mainly salmon and halibut. And over the years, people have requested other products, and we do have access. Both my partner and I have spent many, many years in the industry, have a lot of contacts with our suppliers and with fishermen. And so we have access to really great products. And over the years, we just keep adding things. And in fact, this last year, we even branched out from seafood and added some organic grass-fed beef. So we had customers that were asking for that, and we had a great supplier real close to us here in Washington, and so we put some of that up.
But basically, it looks like that your choices are really centered around salmon, cod, tuna, halibut, and particularly there's a lot of salmon, wild Alaskan salmon, in a lot of different forms from can to, you've got a whole section here that has salmon burgers and salmon sausage and salmon bacon and all these things that are made out of these
salmon.
But there's also different kinds of salmon here. So tell us about the different, you've got sockeye and king and silver and
salmon is just an amazing, it's an amazing animal. And there are five different species. The biggest one is the king salmon. It's the fattiest, richest, sort of least common. So it's going to be the most expensive. There's the silver salmon, the sockeye salmon. Sockeye salmon is our signature product. It's a really abundant fish from Alaska and British Columbia primarily. There's the coho salmon or silver salmon and pink salmon. And the main difference between the different species is that they, when they're going through their life cycle, they occupy different niches in the river systems. Mm-hmm. And that's that translates into and when the fish come back from the ocean, I don't know how much you know about the life cycle of the salmon. Basically, it's
Well, let me tell you that I know a lot about it because I used to live in Northern California, right near Point Reyes National Seashore.
That's
and
beautiful.
So the salmon would come up our creek in the San Geronimo Valley, and we would actually, in our community, we would celebrate the return of the salmon, and we would all go stand down at the bridge and watch the salmon jump. And so I actually have a big affinity for salmon from doing that. It's an amazing thing to see the salmon coming up.
It really
the creek.
Is. It's just, yeah. it's just an amazing animal. The more you know about it, the more fascinating it is. And but what a lot of people don't realize is that when those salmon, you know, they're born in the rivers in freshwater, they migrate out as little tiny smolt into the ocean. So they, and then there's a lot more food out in the ocean, so they grow rapidly out there. And then roughly on average, 3 to 4 years later, they will migrate back to the very same river, the very same spawning beds they were born. And I forget where we were going with this, but I remember. So a lot of times the salmon will, especially the king salmon and the sockeye, their spawning beds may be hundreds of miles up that river. And once they get back into the river and they're heading to those spawning grounds, there really isn't any food in the river, very little. And so they're not eating. And so they have to be carrying all the calories, all the energy that they're going to need to get to those spawning grounds. And so the species like the sockeye and the king salmon that have to migrate the farthest will have the highest fat levels. And that translates into rich, you know, just a really wonderful eating experience. And you can get Alaska sockeye salmon from one river that maybe it only has to migrate for a day. And that will have like maybe half the fat as a sockeye that is from the larger river that might have to migrate for 2 weeks. So you can have a dramatically different culinary experience depending on where that fish is from. And so what we do to make sure that our customers are getting the best is we tend to target fish that are from river systems where they have these higher fat levels.
That's so wonderful. And, you know, I just want to comment because of my experience living in Northern California. Actually, I was born there, but I spent 12 years living in the San Geronimo Valley in Marin County, which is right across the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco. And I lived out in that rural area. And because I was able to live so close to nature there, and we had organic farms and we had the salmon and all these things, that I became really aware of the whole idea of local food. And it's much more difficult to eat local here in Florida than it was for me to eat local when I lived in California. And just, I love the stories behind the food that is completely missing in supermarket food. I love the story that you're telling about how much fat is in the fish depends on how far their spawning grounds are from the ocean. And I just think that if people knew these stories about their food more, that we would have much more appreciation for the food, that we'd have much more connection of the food coming from nature and our connection with nature. That you know, so many people think that food comes from the supermarket, and they have no idea that this fish is like going up river against the current of the river. And, you know, it's just like this whole big journey to get back to the spawning grounds. And it affects your culinary experience. I just think these stories are so wonderful.
Yes, and beyond that, you know, the fisheries in Alaska, really, the management of those fisheries is such that, you know, around the world, most wild salmon have disappeared. And a lot of that has to do with the loss of their habitat.
Mm-hmm.
On the East Coast, they dam most of the rivers, so there really are no commercially available wild salmon from the Northeast. all the Atlantic salmon that's out there, that's pretty much 100% farm salmon. But in Alaska, the habitat is still pristine, and we're fighting to keep it that way. But so consequently, you still have these magnificent salmon runs. 2 years ago, over 200 million pink salmon returned to Alaska. That was the biggest on record. A lot of people are under the impression that, you know, we're wiping out all the wild salmon. We hear all the bad news about wild salmon, but really it's a good news story in Alaska because they protected the habitat. This year, 50 million sockeye salmon are predicted to return to Bristol Bay alone. That's just one region out of, you know, 34,000 miles of coastline up there. And the best part of that story is it only takes about 15 to 20% of those fish to replenish the spawning ground, so the rest is a harvestable surplus.
Good. We need to go to break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Randy Hartnell. He's the founder of Vital Choice Wild Seafood and Organics, and we're learning about salmon and other seafood. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Randy Hartnell. He's the founder of Vital Choice Wild Seafood and Organics, where they sell wild seafood and a lot of it, all different kinds. I'm looking here. They've got wild shrimp and shellfish, calamari, prawns, Dungeness crab, oysters. And listen to this. So I'm looking at this description, and it says, our pure, sweetly delicious Pacific spot prawns are hand-harvested off British Columbia, packed in seawater upon harvest, and flash frozen on board. So it's just like that when you thaw out these prawns, it's just like you were just right there on the boat. Yes?
That's right. It wasn't easy for us to find a fisherman that was willing to do that, but fortunately we did find a couple of them. And, you know, what's happening there, again, this is some of the highest quality seafood you can find, and there's just increasing demand for it around the world. You may be familiar with the Fukushima radiation disaster in Japan, which has made Alaska seafood in just that much more demand. And so you can see from the prices there that, you know, it's not cheap, but, you know, we've never let price dictate what we source. We go out and we find the very best quality of all the different types of seafood, and we pay the fishermen what we need to pay them to get it, and, you know, add a margin so that we can survive, and that's what it is. But, you know, we've become so accustomed to cheap food in this country, and it's, you know, it's reflected in our health. We're one of the sickest populations on the planet because we're eating all this industrial food. And right. I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't already know.
No, but I would just like to interject that that people complain about the cost of food, but they forget that medical bills cost so much more.
That is so.
And I would rather spend the money on the food and be well than spend money on medical bills and be sick.
You know, my dad used to say, well, far back as I can remember it, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And now that I'm getting older and I'm watching just so many people around me, you know, their poor lifestyle and diets are catching up to them. And it's, he also used to say, don't be too soon old and too late smart. And, but what we find is a lot of people just, you know, until they get a wake up call, you know, they really don't hear it.
And, yes, that's exactly right.
So we spend a lot of time trying to educate people about that and provide them with well, that's why we're called Vital Choice, because there's nothing more important than your health, and nothing impacts your health more than, you know, what you choose to eat. So.
I do want to mention, because this is the last segment and we only have a few minutes left, so I want to make sure that I mention that you have a lot of information on your website about how pure your products are. And you do testing. It talks about on your website your testing, and also you that your cans are not the type that have BPA in it, and some of your products come in cans, some in pouches. So you've looked at the packaging as well as the purity of the fish.
Again, yeah, we basically run our business. Our family started out as a family-run business. We've got, you know, non-family people now, too. But we basically just run our business based on the golden rule. We source products and packaging and, you know, that we want to consume. And we're as aware of this as anybody. We have thousands of customers, and they tend to be customers who are highly, you know, conscientious, and they're concerned about this. And so we do our best to source things that we all want to eat and mm-hmm. pack it in ways that, you know, are known to be the safest. So, you know, life is a terminal disease, and there's no way we can escape the potential contaminant, right? It's all out there. But I think what people fail to recognize is if you're eating good quality food, it supports your immune system, it supports your cell health, cellular health, and you're better able to sort of combat these threats, you know, from our environment. And one of the best examples of that, if I could just take a second, is seafood is one of the richest sources of selenium, and selenium is a natural antidote to methylmercury. And we have a lot more on our website about that. If you want to just type in selenium and methylmercury, you can read all kinds of things. But that's just one example. So I would, you know, I've seen over the years people get so focused on the toxic aspect of it, but they forget about just how important it is to invest more in good food and protect yourself from these threats.
One of the things, just to back up what you just said about the selenium, one of the things that I learned was that in nature, I learned this from an herbalist on an herb walk, is that in nature, the antidote to the poison grows right next to it. And so if you have something that is like a toxic mushroom or something, the antidote, you just look around and the antidote is there. And I thought that was a fascinating thing. But, of course, nature would do that. Nature would have that kind of balance that if there's methylmercury there and it's a naturally occurring thing, that there would also be in the fish, the antidote would be right in it.
That's right. The reason
Let me just finish my sentence. And in the industrial world, things are not created that way. It's just industrial chemicals are industrial chemicals, and the antidote is not right there.
Great point. That's a perfect example, you know, in seafood, because what makes methylmercury toxic is that it binds with selenium in our cells, and every cell in our body requires selenium to function properly. And so if you're getting methylmercury and no selenium, then you run a selenium deficit and you have problems. Seafood is one of the richest sources of selenium, and so you're replenishing any, you know, that gets locked up by the methylmercury. And there's quite a bit of science about this, and they've known it since the 60s, but, you know, it doesn't get much exposure in the press.
That's so good to hear. Well, I'll make sure that people know about it because they will hear this this interview. Also, before we go, I want to make sure that people know about your In the Kitchen section on your website. You've got all these videos that tell people how to prepare. You want to tell us about the videos?
Yes. You know, a lot of people are sort of intimidated by seafood. A lot of people are worried about it smelling up their house. And again, that goes back to quality. If you get good quality, you know, seafood, then it's not fishy. We travel around the country and, you know, we'll set up our grill and our booth, and, you know, I cooked our salmon in hotels and conference centers, and I've never, ever had anybody ask me to leave. So if you have good seafood, it doesn't smell up your house. Second of all, it's just so simple. You can take one of these frozen pieces of salmon out of your freezer, thaw it in 15 or 20 minutes, put it in the oven or a pan, and 10 minutes you have a gourmet meal. It's some of the healthiest food on earth. So we wanted to share that, and so we created a series of just short 1-minute videos that are on our website. Deborah, I also want to mention that we have a fantastic science-based newsletter that we send out every week. It's a Vital Choices newsletter, which you can sign up for on our website.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have been subscribing to your newsletter for years, and you always have interesting things to read. Always.
Yeah. Great. Yes, it's we've got over 100,000 people that read it, and it's we're really. I feel more like we're just as committed to education as we are to providing good food. It's kind of our passion to help people understand just how important this is.
That's great. That's great. So, what's your favorite seafood dish? Your favorite way to eat seafood?
You may be surprised to learn that I eat probably more canned salmon than just about anything because it's so easy, it's so portable, it's nutritious, and you could put it over it's ready to eat, so you can pour it over a salad or stir it into pasta or rice, or it's just very easy. As far as our frozen products, I probably eat more of our sockeye and king salmon than anything else. Last night we were at dinner at this great restaurant, seafood restaurant in Seattle, and I was just so torn because the sablefish or black cod is just, I'm not sure if you've had that before. Well, I know you haven't.
I haven't had that, but some of my listeners might.
It is one of the most incredible, wonderful, delicious fish, but they also had some troll cod winter king salmon that had just come in fresh from Alaska, and so we were all torn as to which one to have. The sablefish it's caught at about 2,000 to 3,000 feet down, icy cold waters, and it's just richest, most delicious fish. So it's kind of like asking a person, which is their favorite child. It's apples and oranges. They're all good, and we encourage people to sort of experiment and try them all.
Yes. I mean, you even have wild salmon caviar. I think you have salmon in every form there is, it looks like to me. Anyway.
I will admit that that's what I had for breakfast. It's like rocket fuel for the brain. It's pure, healthy omega-3 fats. And so we try to please as many people as we can, and we get requests for all kinds of seafood. So.
Good. Well, we've come to the end of our time. Thank you so much for being here with me. I've learned a lot. I think my listeners have learned a lot. Again, you can go to their website, vitalchoice.com, and sign up for their newsletter and try their food. And we're at the end of our time. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Dad. Be well.